Our Old Testament reading, 2 Kings, chapter 7, and verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. The word of God. And then the New Testament reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and just verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, you'll find it on page 611 of the Pew Bible. Again, the word of God. "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" The word of God. Please be seated. The title of the message this morning is "A Day of Good News." I was volunteering at the City Rescue Mission Outreach, a new drop-in center for the homeless, when a delivery truck drove up and dropped off a load of day-old baked goods on the front sidewalk. Loaves of bread, buns, donuts, breakfast rolls, and so on. A man who had been standing outside having a smoke went over, tore open several of the packages, and eagerly began to eat. Then after a minute or two, he thought better of himself, ran inside, and passed on the good news to a group of his friends who were sitting around playing cards. Instantly, the whole group got up, ran outside, and started devouring the bounty, stuffing packages into their backpacks to save for later. Within minutes, all the baked goods disappeared. Not a trace remained. I mentioned to the man who had gone inside and told the good news, after he explained what had happened to me, I mentioned to him that what he had done reminded me of the story in today's text. How the starving lepers who went from tent to tent outside the city wall helping themselves to food suddenly came to the realization, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news. And we remain silent. Their consciences bothered them because they were devouring the newly discovered food trove and keeping it to themselves and not sharing the good news with their fellow citizens. Well, all of us need to eat to sustain life. Every single human being, without exception, needs food to survive. Most of us eat it by mouth. The very sickest get their food intravenously or through a feeding tube. But everyone needs to eat food. Food is our fuel. A dying person stops taking food and water. When this happens, death usually occurs within 24 hours. Well, an institution like the City Rescue Mission, and I didn't know we would have some esteemed employees of the mission with us today, and that's not why I use this as the illustration, but an institution like the City Rescue Mission offers food, drink, and shelter in the name of Christ. It is an overtly Christian institution. It understands that what the homeless and the down and outers need most is what all of us need most, and that is peace with God through His Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ. All of us are sinful human beings, and what each of us needs for our lives is to be transformed by the gospel of Christ. The gospel, the truth about Jesus Christ, His person, and His work, is the most precious commodity on planet Earth. It is more valuable than anything else. Acceptance or rejection of Christ is the difference between heaven and hell. If a person receives the good news of Christ, his sins are forgiven and his life is transformed. He becomes a follower of Christ. All things are become new. Old sinful habits are broken. New godly habits are formed. He begins to love God and love his neighbor. His life is cleaned up. His speech is cleaned up. He becomes a productive member of society. He is safe and pleasant to be around. He becomes a winsome witness for the gospel. If a rescue mission offers the biblical gospel, it is offering the most important commodity on earth. The only message that has the power to transform a life for time and for eternity. But the sad fact is that if a rescue mission offers only the gospel, then no one would come. The reason for this is that men's minds are so blinded by sin and the devil that they don't realize their profound need of Christ or the all-surpassing value of the gospel. Without the new birth, we are all dead in trespasses and sins. Our minds are blinded by Satan. Our perception of reality is skewed. Offer a down and out person a choice between food and the gospel, and he will choose food every time. In his spiritual blindness and ignorance, he assumes that what he really needs is material things: food, clothing, shelter. Yes, he needs those. We all do. But there is a deeper, more fundamental need. A need of something that will transform his life, give him the ability to conquer destructive habits, and make him into a productive and prosperous person, able to supply his own needs. That something is the gospel. In our Old Testament text this morning, we have the story of four down-and-outers who are hungry, very hungry. They were lepers. Leprosy was a highly contagious disease And according to the law of Moses, lepers had to be quarantined, excluded. They had to live outside the city wall. Their only food was scraps that had been dumped over the wall, or what they could find in the field. In good times, their food was scarce, but in bad times, it would be scarcer, or even non-existent. In our story, Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom after Israel split into Israel and or Judah and Israel, in our story, Samaria was under a military blockade. A blockade is a cruel tactic used in ancient times and also today to starve the citizenry, including non-combatants, women and children, and hasten surrender. The city of Samaria was shut up. The Syrian army outside the wall was letting no one in or out. This, of course, meant widespread hunger, famine, and starvation. As a matter of fact, the once civilized Hebrews were even resorting to cannibalism to stave off hunger. In the previous chapter, a mother in Israel had murdered and boiled her own child for food. Living as we do in a time of plenty, that is almost inconceivable to us. When the citizens of Samaria were starving, then the outcast lepers outside the city wall were starving more. They were at the end of their rope. Their choices were to die of starvation or to die at the hand of the Syrians. As they thought about their predicament, they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." The lepers took the chance and approached the enemy camp. When they got there, everything was eerily quiet. Was it a trap? They approached a tent and found nobody there. But there was food. Eagerly they ate and drank. They went into another tent and found nobody there as well. They took some of the soldiers' provisions as booty, especially probably the gold and silver, which probably were brought along as money to purchase provisions. They went in and they hid that booty. And then the Bible tells us that their consciences got the best of them. They said to one another, "We are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." Well, as we look at this text this morning, consider with me 3 points. First, the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. The 4 lepers said, "This day is a day of good news." These lepers recognized that the retreat of the Syrian army had ushered in a new day for the city of Samaria. The blockade was over. Trade could move freely again. Farmers and caravans could come again and bring their goods into the city to sell them. The markets, with their empty shelves, would once again fill up. Men and women could buy food for their families that had so long lived on the edge of starvation. The lepers recognized this. They said, "This is a day of good news." In the Greek Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, the word for good news is evangelia, which means beautiful announcement. It is a variant of the common New Testament word for gospel, which is just the same, a different gender, though, evangelion. So evangelia, feminine, evangelion, neuter. And that word is used over 100 times in the New Testament, and it means good news. Ev, like eulogy, we pronounce it a little differently, E-U, eulogy, meaning saying good things about a person after he dies or something like that, or euphemism to speak good. So the ev meaning good, and then the angelion from the same word as angel. An angel is a person who comes and gives an announcement. So it means good news. And I really like this. I've mentioned it before, but the English word gospel also means good news. It comes from the Old English god, meaning good, G-O-D, long O, and spell, a tale. The gospel is a beautiful tale or story, but it's not a fairy tale. It's a true story, the story of what God has done through Christ to save the human race. So the leper said, this is a day of good news. And whether they knew it or not, that word was going to be translated into the word that essentially means gospel in the New Testament. Well, there can be no better story than what God has done through Christ to save the human race. It is truly good news. Paul summarized the gospel thusly: Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel, then, is not about what man can do, but about what God has done. He has sent his Son, the long-promised Messiah. Christ came into the world not to enjoy a vacation, not to tour and travel and see the sights, but rather he came into this world to go to the cross and die for our sins. Moreover, as the 1 Corinthians text teaches us, his death was intentional. It was not a good plan gone awry. It was not something that took God off guard, something bad that happened in spite of God's good intentions. No, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. His death on a cruel Roman cross was something that had been planned from eternity past. It was prophesied in Holy Scripture. Where was it prophesied? Well, one place would be Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall bear their iniquities. Our Lord Jesus understood this. Before he went to the cross, he declared, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Matthew 18:11. He didn't come to make it possible for a sinful man to save himself. He came to save the lost. All mankind fell in Adam. All mankind inherited Adam's sin. All mankind is thus lost and on his way to eternal punishment. But the Father sent his Son to die in the sinner's place. This is indeed good news. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. The wrath of God abides on every sinner apart from Christ. But he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. It is a present reality. Life that begins in this present world and continues forever in the world to come. Someone has described evangelism, the sharing of the good news of Christ, as one beggar telling another where to find bread. Since Jesus is the bread of life, the comparison is fitting. We are all beggars. Not one deserves heaven. We are all undeserving. Jesus is the bread of life, the true bread that came down from the Father. Amen. The person who commits his life to him receives the gift of eternal life and will live forever. It is a free gift. But not everyone knows this. The prophet Amos said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Amos 8:11. Sadly, even in some ostensibly Christian churches, there is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. People hear the social gospel. They are told to be good, to follow Christ as a great moral teacher, to be generous, to practice biblical morality, but they are not told about Christ's saving work. They are not given the biblical gospel. They are left with the impression that everyone is basically good. If they just do more, try harder, and live a good life, everything will be okay. They will go to be with God. They will make it to heaven. But the Bible teaches that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Even our best works fall short and are like stinky rags in the sight of a holy God. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Just like the four lepers in Samaria who told the good news that the Syrian army had fled and left a treasure trove of food right outside the city gates, so the follower of Christ who has discovered the gospel for himself, who knows deep down inside that Jesus is the true bread from heaven, and tells another person that there's food for the soul, rich, bountiful, abundant food in Christ, is sharing the most important message that anyone could ever hear. Well, second, remember, today is the day for telling good news. Today is the day for telling good news. The thing about food is that it must be consumed daily. It is more like solar power than atomic energy. If a building is located in a place that has abundant sunshine, having solar panels on the roof can really save on the electric bill. In the previous hour, you saw a picture of a school with a huge bank of solar panels on the top, and the principal told me that those solar panels are powering the school. It's wonderful. Now, it wouldn't work in Michigan. I'm glad it works where the school is. But we know that storage batteries are not cost-effective for storing up huge amounts of electricity, such as the electricity required to run air conditioning equipment, for example. Solar power cannot really be stored up for later. Now, small amounts can be stored, but not huge amounts. One must have a steady supply of sunshine for solar power to work. On the other hand, a small amount of atomic fuel can power an atomic power plant for years. But food is more like solar power than atomic energy. Ordinarily, food must be consumed daily. This is why Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." The four lepers who happened on the deserted army camp and found the bounty said, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news." And we remain silent. Their loved ones back in the city, like them, were starving. They didn't need food tomorrow. They needed it today. People were literally dying for lack of food. Jesus is the bread of life. Apart from him, there is only starvation and death. We have life through his name, and only Christ can support the soul's spiritual life. No other food will do. The food of this world is like junk food. It tastes good, but has little nutritional value. Christ is real food. Only Christ can truly satisfy. And there is enough in Christ for the believer to live on it. Amen. The soul that feeds on Christ will be sustained both in this life and in the life to come. Our New Testament text quotes Isaiah 49, verse 8, where God tells Israel, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." And then it goes on to say, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Paul's point is to urge the Corinthians to receive Christ's salvation now, and not put it off until a more convenient time. The Reformation Study Bible helpfully observes that when God offers deliverance, it is wise to respond immediately before the offer is withdrawn. Wise advice. The day of salvation will come to an end. When Christ returns and the final judgment begins, it will be too late to receive Christ. But more personally, the day of salvation will end for each one of us at our death. We are alive right now. We cannot be sure about tomorrow. Our visiting brother from Canada told just last night how a faithful deacon in his church, a man in his 40s, who loved the Lord and had a wife and children at home, a man in good health with no apparent health issues, went to work one day and suddenly fell on the floor, having suffered a heart attack. He was pronounced dead within an hour. It happens without warning. You and I are alive right now. We have the present. We may or may not have a long life ahead of us. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We may not have tomorrow. The wise course of action is to receive God's gift of salvation now and not put it off. It is very unwise to put it off, to say, "I'll take care of this later when it's more convenient." Today is the day for receiving the good news. And today is the day for telling the good news. Is the person God providentially brings into your path alive right now? Then now is the time to tell him. "I have good news for you. Christ died for sinners like you and me. Believe on him, and he will save you." Lastly, thirdly, we sin if we do not tell the good news. We sin if we do not tell the good news. The four lepers in our story were starving to death and decided to give themselves up to the Syrians. When they got to their encampment, they discovered, to their great surprise, that no one was there. They started going into tents and helping themselves to food and pocketing some loot. And then they became conscience-stricken and said, "We are not doing right. This is a day of good news," and we remain silent. They intuitively understood that they had a responsibility to notify their fellow man. So it is with us. We are Christians. We have the bread of life, Jesus Christ. He has saved us from our sins, and he will save others too. He has given us his great commission: "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28. Not every one of us has authority to baptize. That is for men called by God and set apart formally by his church. But each of us ought to be involved in making disciples. Parents can disciple their little ones and bring them to Jesus. All of us can reach out to family members and friends and tell them about Christ. And we can witness to others whom God sovereignly brings across our path. The ninth commandment prohibits the bearing of false witness. But there's a flip side to it. As explained in our catechism, the prohibition of bearing false witness also requires standing for the truth. Jesus Christ is truth incarnate. the way, the truth, and the life. The Christian is not to bear false witness, but rather he is to tell the truth about Christ. This is the message that all our loved ones, friends, and neighbors so desperately need to hear. We, like the four lepers in our story, sin if we remain silent and do not tell the good news to our fellow man. In a sense, each one of us is our brother's keeper. Not everyone is called to pulpit ministry. Not every one of us is called to preach the word to a congregation. Those who are called to do the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. An evangelist, in the biblical sense, is not someone with a big organization who goes around conducting citywide crusades. An evangelist, in simplest terms, is one poor beggar telling another poor beggar where to find bread. That is what happened in our Old Testament text. Evangelism, in the most complete sense, involves bringing people to Christ, discipling them, grounding them in the faith, incorporating them into a church, and planting a church if there's no faithful church in the area. The work of evangelism is broad and far-reaching. It is performed by people with a wide range of gifts, some ordained, some non-ordained. But none of us is to hide our light under a bushel. If we see somebody starving and know where there is food and fail to tell the starving person, we fail another human being. We fail to perform something that's within our power to preserve the life of another person. The sixth commandment requires all lawful endeavors to preserve life. And if God providentially brings a starving person into our life and we fail to inform him where he can get bread, then we sin. So it is also with failing to tell another person that there is forgiveness in Christ when it is within our power to do so. To say something as simple as, "I am a Christian. I belong to Christ. He is the Savior of sinners. Come with me to find out more." And like Andrew, to bring the man to Jesus. That is the work of evangelism. Not everyone is naturally gifted in evangelism. Not everyone is called to the public ministry of the word. But we, like the saints in Acts 8, who fled Jerusalem during a time of persecution, can go wherever God in his providence plants us, telling the good news of salvation. There's bread to be found. Christ is the living bread who came down from heaven. He is the bread of life. If you come to him, you will never hunger. And if you believe on him, you will never thirst. He will take you to his heavenly banqueting table and feed you in his blessed presence eternally. Song of Solomon 2, verse 4. It is natural for ordinary Christians to want to share the gospel. Well, the gospel is good news. Today is the day for telling good news. We sin if we do not tell the good news. May God grant us boldness to tell the good news. Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, the Apostle Paul prayed for boldness, and we want to pray for boldness as well. Lord, we know that many of us are not naturally confrontational people. Some of us are a bit timid, perhaps many of us. And Lord, even if we're not naturally timid, we acknowledge we need the Holy Spirit's help as we go and tell other beggars where to find the bread of life. Lord, we pray that you will give us that boldness. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to remember that today is the day that we ought to be doing that. We don't have assurance of tomorrow. And Lord, to know that where we go, your Spirit goes with us. and enables us and empowers our witness. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.